Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Just leave it to me. I lead you, Lord. Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Martin Arinaga. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Very few people in the whole wide world are able to say that they've had a gun pointed at their chest and that they were able to look the gunman in the eye. Our guest today has recently experienced that not very well coveted experience. But what happened as a result of that will be something that you and I would so desire not only to hear, but to want to have the kind of faith and response and intervention of God that he has had. He's going to share that story in just a little while. Legendary Green Bay Packer coach Vince Lombardi said, "It is time for us all, to stand and cheer for the doer, the achiever, the one who recognizes the challenge and does something about it." I believe our guest today is one of those people that Lombardi would have referred to. He and his wife have taken action, which really is the essence of faith. They've taken action to make a difference in the lives of people in a distant land. Today, his story will make a difference in your life. You know, as we normally begin, I'd like to pause just for a moment to remind you that the reason we have this program, the Good Life Hawaii Show, is very simple. The very essence of it all is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus and you're listening and you have a heart that's yearning, a heart that's seeking, well, you're listening to the right show because the Lord has something for you today. And it really is the heart of God for you to become close to him, for you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a follower of the Lord, we believe that this program will help make you stronger, stronger in your faith, especially with what you're going to hear. Since its inception in 1986, Del Corazon de Jesucristo provides hope through salvation in Christ, and changes lives for eternity. Dr. Steve Dorsey, director of Del Corazon, and his wife Julie continue to dedicate their lives to this ministry in the Dominican Republic. The vision of Del Corazon is evangelism through medicine, education, and sports. And I'm a personal witness of it, along with my dear brother-in-law, Dr. Jeffrey Miyazawa, and our Paradise Global Mission teams, we can attest of this impactful ministry indeed. The goals of Del Corazon are to develop a medical center, a Christian school, and a recreation center, and they are well on their way. Dr. Steve, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks, Martin.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about where you grew up.
Well, I grew up in Orange County, California, Southern California, Huntington Beach area. And it's probably a pretty well-known area. It's for most people. And it's probably one of the meccas of of materialism and development and maybe getting ahead in the world. And I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and that was pretty much the idea of how life was supposed to be lived.
And what about your family?
My mother is a high school teacher, and my father, an orthopedic surgeon. I have a brother. He's also a pathologist, sister, CPA, and another stepbrother and a stepsister, and half-brother and half-sister, all very successful.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your journey, your faith journey. How did you come to know the Lord?
Well, I was always into sports. I loved sports, all of them, all kinds, all types. And I would pretty much go to any sporting event if it was available or if I was invited. And I did go to a basketball game one time with my father. It was put on by Athletes in Action. And while I was there, they gave testimonies at halftime. They also had a program that they would give to everybody that came. And after the game, I took that program home. I was 16 years old at the time. I read through the program, and in the program there was something called the Four Spiritual Laws, basically mm-hmm. a way of presenting the gospel and teaching you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I saw that, and I knew that's what I wanted. But I was not raised in the church. I had no Christian friends. I really had no knowledge of what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. But I knew I wanted it. And that night when I read that, I prayed to accept Christ in my life. I didn't really understand what that meant. I didn't talk to anybody about it. My life at that time didn't change. I just went on living life as I had before, not really knowing any difference, mm-hmm. until I went to college. After my first year at UCLA, at near the end of the year, I was waiting to go to class. And it was probably a typical freshman college year for a lot of people, where I spent a lot of time doing things I probably shouldn't have been doing. And I was wondering to myself, is this really what life is? Is this, you know, what I should be doing? Where's the joy? Where's the fulfillment? And two guys approached me at the time while I was waiting to go to class, and they asked if they could speak to me. I said, sure. And they sat down, and they got out the Four Spiritual Laws. And I said, I've seen that before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they then invited me to go to a Bible study, and it was at that time where I began to learn what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus, what that decision meant that I'd made 3 years prior, what the significance of that was. I began to learn and understand at that time.
Steve, you've already mentioned the Four Spiritual Laws twice,
yeah.
and for some of us who are not familiar with it, can you just do a quick recap? What are? What is
well,
this thing
God,
called the Four
God
Spiritual
loves,
Laws?
God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, but man is sinful and separated from God, so he therefore cannot know or experience God's love and plan for him.
Mm-hmm.
But God gave us his son, Jesus Christ, in that through him, having a personal relationship through him, we could know and experience God's plan for our life. And it's not enough to just know God mentally, but to know him personally and spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, that's when your salvation begins at that time and you begin to grow.
Why did that connect with you so much? I mean, we read a lot of things during a day, and all of a sudden this pamphlet really came to you and you remembered it 3 years later.
Yeah, well, I think that the way I was growing up was under a lot of pressure to perform. And that's probably a common thing for most of us as we grow up. And so I felt like my value was based on my performance. And I struggled with that. And when I read this, I really believed that God loved me and that he loved me regardless of my performance, of my achievements, of what I did. And for that impact was so freeing on me. And I knew that's what I wanted to have. I wanted to be loved just for me. I didn't want to have to jump through hoops. I didn't want to have to perform. I didn't want to have to achieve. I didn't want to have to be the top guy for somebody to like me or to love me. And I believed that God loved me the way I was, and that's why I wanted it.
That works directly in the face of Huntington Beach mentality, as you'd call it, though.
Yes.
How did you come to grips with that? How can you align those two conflicting views?
Well, it's tough, and for the 3 years after that, it didn't really change. You know, I continued the way I did until somebody began to help me understand what it meant to really have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I think that it's a slow process by walking with Jesus daily, by growing and learning more and more about Him and learning more about His love. There, you begin to shift from performing to grace and understanding grace. I'm still in that process. I can still get caught up in the performance. It's so easy to go that way. But it's just a matter of a daily walk, a daily communion with God. I mean, that's what affects our life and everything that we do. It's just the moment by moment, day by day, communion, walk with God. And it's not to make it a, mm-hmm. you know, certainly I'm not a super saint. I'm just a regular guy. And I need to have that regular communion with God for my mind to think right. Otherwise, I would go right back to that.
Now, you know, your faith journey included something of a special calling, and the calling has continued to expand. And so when we come back from our break, Steve, I'd like for you to share with us about what happened after. There you are at UCLA. These two guys approach you. You see the four spiritual laws. You understand the message of God's love for you and a relationship with God through faith in Christ. A reflection of several years earlier, but it propelled you to something that has impacted you and so many others today. I want you to share that when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Steve Dorsey.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down, just leave it to me, I'll lead.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training, make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name.
Call Stephen at 330-5524. That's 330-5524.
A door to your dream is now open. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Master Martin. Martin Arinaga. And our featured guest today, Dr. Steve Dorsey. You know, a program like The Good Life Hawaii wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for Wahiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, the generous donations of orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Burt's Union Service right here on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, and Chinenen Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. A big mahalo to our sponsors. I also want to invite you to be a financial partner with the Good Life Hawaii Radio. This is a listener-supported radio show, and your donation is very important to helping us reach more people with God's love and God's hope. A prayerful financial support gift is much appreciated. You can write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and send it to P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii, 96709. That's 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii, 96709.
Thank you, Danny. So, Dr. Steve, you know, earlier you mentioned about you're a regular guy. I walk in the studio and I can look at you and say, okay, regular guy. Then you have doctor in front of your name. Okay, that puts you a little different. I know some, but fewer. But then I heard a little bit about what you're doing now. And can you share with us, when we left, you were at UCLA. You were just beginning to get a message, communication. You felt like you were being called by God to do a certain task. Can you just share then how you ended up being a doctor and then how you ended up doing what you're doing right now?
Yeah, sure. It was shortly after that year, my freshman year, when I began to understand what my relationship with Jesus was about. It was actually a year after that, that an opportunity came up to go to the Dominican Republic on a short-term mission trip. And I believe that God wanted me to go there. And it was the summer after my second year in college. And we went there and we spent 3 weeks there in a rural community, helped build a school. And it had such an impact on me while I was there that I knew I was going back. When I left there, I can remember it like it was yesterday. I can see the little girl with a cast on her arm, Edis was her name. As the bus pulled away, I held her hand. And I would have dragged her down the street if I wouldn't let go, but I let go and my heart broke. And she actually was part of the home. She was one of the children in the home that I lived in when I was there. I knew that I was going back, and I believed that God was calling me to go back in medicine. And so at that point, I pursued that. But I was unsuccessful. I finished my college off. I finished what I needed to do to go to medical school. I put in the applications to multiple schools all over the place, believing that, you know, if God wanted me to go, certainly I would get in somewhere. And I didn't. I was rejected by, of course, every school that I applied to, and wasn't sure what to do about that. I was just like, well, Lord, did I make this thing up? Is this really what you want? And at that time, it wasn't. I think God had a lot to do in my life before it was time to go. A lot of working on me and pride, which he still continues to do, and perseverance and just pressing on and seeking him and going where he wants me to go. I feel like what I want to do is I want to go where God wants me to go, and I want to do what he wants me to do. And that's what I want to do with my life. And I felt like still that in the Dominican, there was needs that I saw that I felt like I could help meet, and while at the same time knew that God could work on my own life in that place. So after I graduated, I didn't know what to do. I always wanted to live in Hawaii, so I moved here. And right away, I started teaching in the public school system, but I applied to medical school again for a second time a year out. was rejected all over again, 2 years in a row. At that point, I was like, well, I don't, I think that, you know, I must have made this thing up. I don't think, you know, God wants me to do this. But I did continue to go back to the Dominican. Every year after that, in the summer, I organized teams to go back to the Dominican through Hope Chapel in Kaneohe. We sent small groups every year from 90, 91, 92, 93, 90, 94 back to the same town that I was working in. Now, in the meantime, I was teaching at Kailua High School. I started off substitute, and I was able to get a full-time job. And I had been doing that for 3 or 4 years, and I decided, well, I might as well just do this the right way and get a professional diploma. Went to University of Hawaii, was about to start my student teaching, and I didn't have peace about it. I felt the Lord saying, this isn't the way to go. And so at that time, that's when I stopped and say, okay, Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just give me some peace. And I felt him say, okay, apply to medical school. And I was like, no way, not going through it again. I do not like the rejection. And I put it off for a while. I was out of college for 6 years. I had to retake the examination, you know, the board exams to apply to medical school. I didn't want to do that. I waited for a couple months. It still came back to me. I then decided, okay, I'll do it. Did the applications, and I was finally accepted into medical school. That was not in 1994, and that was where my journey to being a doctor began.
And how did your maybe the lesson here for those that are maybe losing hope? They have a vision that they believe God called them. You said you made it up. I guess it's, we think of that. I said, who's this talking to me? Is it me talking to myself again? What is a lesson there for someone who might be in a situation where they're losing hope because they're doing what they thought God was calling them to do, and nothing connects, nothing's happening? Mm-hmm. What's up with that?
Well, I think it may sound like a cliche, but God tells us over and over in His Word to wait on Him, to wait patiently. Many times throughout His Word, He's telling us to wait. And that doesn't mean, sometimes it means change, do something else. Sometimes it doesn't, but it does mean wait. And it means, you know, you continue to persevere. You continue again in your walk with Jesus day by day, moment by moment, trying to do what He wants you to do, trying to be who He wants you to be. And at the right time, He'll put it in place. And you know, His will be done if you allow Him to do that.
Give us some indicators of what went on in you during that period of time, that season of waiting. What happened?
I struggled. I struggled a lot. I went through times of feeling depressed, confused, not really understanding, you know, what I was doing or where I should be. But I continued to stay in fellowship. I continued to pray. I continued to try to be who Jesus wanted me to be. And I waited. I didn't have a choice. I had to wait, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I have good friends. I have good people around me to encourage me, to keep me going, to keep my mind thinking right, and keep me accountable, keep me in the Word. And
do you feel like that time, the internal stuff, the intangible stuff that was going on within your heart, in your spirit, that God was preparing you for the things that you have had to face, the challenges that you've had to overcome?
Yes, I believe that there's a development, there's a maturity process going on when you do have to depend on Him.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to wait and continue to stay close in fellowship and rely on Him for with an uncertain future, you know, if you're continuing to rely on God to provide for whatever it is you're going to need, there's a growth process that happens, and there's maturity in there, and that will help, or does help me and continues to help me persevere in other struggles that I face now and that I will face in the future.
Yeah, Dr. Steve, the Lord has given you tremendous resolve. He's given you a grace of a high level intelligence, but connected to an incredible capacity to just connect with people right where they are. You know, he tells me today before the radio show, he says, it's okay to come in T-shirt and slippers.
You let the secret out, Danny.
And slippers.
I was just going to say, you look very nice in your
in my mind,
smock. And
in,
your...
my mind, in my mind, I'm thinking, this is the perfect place to just kind of relax, you know? I mean, nobody knows how well mm-hmm. or how casual we are. But, you know, the Lord has given you a blessed partner in life.
Absolutely.
In ministry. And when we come back, you know, there are people that are part of our listening community. They want to hear. They want to hear about the woman that has stood with you, that continues to stand with you. I want you to share with us about your dear wife and how it all came together. And then I haven't forgotten that life-threatening experience that you faced just a couple of months ago. I want you to share with us about that too.
All right.
Stay with us. There's a lot more from Dr. Steve Dorsey. We'll be right back.
During the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
Years ago, the great lyricist Oscar Hammerstein flew with a friend over New York Harbor, approaching the Statue of Liberty. When the pilot suddenly banked the plane, he saw the rare sight of Lady Liberty's head. Amazed, he noticed every lock and braid meticulously carved and polished. He remembered, this gift was given by France in 1886, before airplanes were even invented. Frédéric Auguste Bartholdi, the sculptor, could have saved months of painstaking labor and expenses by doing minimal work, reasoning no one but seagulls would see it. A gentle reminder, pay attention to details. Don't neglect the little things. You never know how your private work will be scrutinized publicly. I'm Danny Yamashiro, enriching you with a good life.
To receive more inspiration and insights from Danny Yamashiro, visit DannyYamashiro.com. This ad is brought to you by select corporate sponsors who care about you. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Martin Arinaga and our special guest today, Dr. Steve Dorsey of Del Corazon de Jesus Cristo in the Dominican Republic. He and his wife, Julie, have an incredible ministry there. I want to get right in and just tell us, how did you meet your wife? How did it all come together?
Well, I met Julie while I was here, and I was teaching at Kailua High School. While I was going to Hope Chapel, I had a close group of friends there, and we had mutual friends, mm-hmm. and we used to hang out every weekend at our house, have barbecue, go to the beach, do things like that. And so Julie was part of the group, And so we met each other through that, just started spending time with each other, and fell in love and knew that we wanted to spend the rest of our life together.
Now, was she in the process with you? You know how you were saying, you went through basically three cycles of applications, right, for medical
yes,
school?
Yes, yeah, three.
And then the third round, you got accepted.
Right.
Was she with you through that whole process?
She was in the third round.
She
I met her
the
after
round.
The first two. Yeah.
Okay.
So, well, she was with me throughout those struggles in the times where I didn't know what was going on. Uh-huh. Right. I had given up on medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in teaching and I was in the process of getting my professional teaching diploma. She was with me through that and through the confusion and, you know, the wondering and not being sure of what was going on. Mm-hmm. She went through all that with me mm-hmm. and then through the last application and acceptance process.
Now, after you graduate from medical school, I mean, that's in some ways it's an incredible accomplishment. But then it's the beginning, right? You need to go to residency.
Yeah, you start all over again. You got to apply now to new programs, to new training programs, and it's a similar process where you apply all over the country to programs that you're interested in. You have to interview. You have to go through a process, an acceptance process, which they call the match process, in which you put in your list of schools hospitals where you want to do your residency. They put in their list of students in which they want to come to residency, and they throw it in a computer, and you end up where the computer sends you.
So what happened with you?
Well, I was one of the few that ended up nowhere. going through another rejection process. God continues to have to work on me and stretch me in my pride. Actually, I was sure that I knew where I wanted to be, and I thought I knew God wanted me to be in that place, and that's what I ranked. I ranked a list of other places, and I came up zero on the computer. No place for me, and that's not a fun place to be. Usually everybody knows those who don't match, they have to scramble. They sneak into the dean's office, you know, later that day, and they got to find a place to go. And it's kind of stressful. I mean, you just got to look at the map and pick a spot that's open. Usually there's a reason why that place hasn't filled, because there's maybe something wrong with it. But they think there's a reason why you didn't get anywhere either. And so I ended up going to Phoenix. We tried to pick the place that's closest to home. Never wanted to be in Phoenix. Never thought I would be there. But we ended up there. And the relationships that I made in Phoenix are probably some of the most significant relationships that we've been involved with in the Dominican Republic. So clearly God had his hand, and he knew exactly where he was supposed to send me for the development of this ministry.
Now, tell us about your Del Corazón de Jesucristo. Tell us about your ministry. I've been there a couple of times. There's an incredible baseball field that's mm-hmm. there, like a field of dreams.
Yeah.
Right there in your backyard, as it were. Tell us. Go on, man. Tell us about how it all came together.
Well, you know, I believe that God uses our passions and our mm-hmm. personality. That's what he wants us to use to reach other people. And again, like I said, I want to be where God wants me to be, do what God wants me to do, and be the person he wants me to be. And that's basically our philosophy, and that's what we want to teach others around us. And we use our gifts. Julie's a teacher. I'm a doctor. I love sports. So we use medicine as an avenue to reach people, to get them interested, get them there. We use teaching through Julie, and we use sports, baseball, basketball, whatever comes along, because, you know, most kids love sports, and that's what brings them around. And through that, we develop relationships. We've gotten close to many kids, and we disciple those kids. We're role models for them. We encourage them to develop their gifts that God's given them, and for them to be the people that God wants them to be. We encourage them to grow up into that person that God has for them, the plan that he has for them. And that's really a simple way to put it. We want to be who God wants us to be, and we want to encourage others to do that, to be who God wants them to be also. And we're just using what God has given us, our talents, our place, the baseball field, which Major League Baseball paid for to put on our property, and our little league of 10 teams, 163 kids, and all the other sports equipment that we have that has been donated. And then we also host short-term mission teams. And we do that because I believe it's very important. It makes an impact on those who come, like it did on me. And also those people help us to make an impact on the kids in our community. The Fruit, the boys we have, Jeffrey, Harley, Robert, the guys that are there, have been impacted by you, your group, by other short-term teams that have mm-hmm. been there. They are all investing. We're not the only ones investing in these people. Everybody that takes part in our ministry, from coming on short-term mission trips to sponsoring to their gifts of financially or the gifts of equipment, and every way that they're involved in our ministry, they are investing also in the lives of these kids.
One of the things that you're doing is, and I've seen it, you're raising the level of hope in the whole community. And it's like an oasis, Martin, like a spiritual oasis. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been there and I've seen time and again people coming to the ministry center, the base, because, a finger is cut, is hanging, a piece of skin is off. I mean, they got a nail in, stuck inside. Somebody's bringing their child, and they bring them right into the center. And he's able to take care of them in their need. And there's a level of respect that has risen in the broader community for what they're doing. But it's faith, your faith in Christ, and how God has responded to your faith. Recently, just a couple of months ago, your faith was really tested. Tell us about what happened and how it went really to the roof.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would have to say that it was an awesome experience, incredible experience. Not anything that I would want to do again, mm-hmm. but certainly life-changing and caused me to look in myself and at others and strengthen my faith. Well, it basically, you want to go through the whole thing that happened. We were hosting, this was on June 10th, we were hosting a youth group from Scottsdale, Arizona. They arrived actually on June 9th, the night before. They came to do Vacation Bible School and work with the kids. We picked them up that night, brought them to our property, settled them in. Next day, they got out and went to work. And later that night, we were just all hanging out. We were out on our front patio. Our property, we have 7 acres property, mm-hmm. and our house where we stay, we have a dorm down below where we house the teams. We also have an apartment out in the center of the property where we house other parts of the teams. You split them up if we need to, and we live on the top floor of the house in the back. It's at the back of the property. It's a 7-acre property, and at times it's dark. We lose power sometimes, and we're out in the country. We're out in the, and they call it the compo, and pretty much, the middle of nowhere. We were playing games on the patio with the kids. It got late. I was tired, and I decided it was time to go to bed. All the kids stayed out on the patio, continued to play. That's what we usually let them do. I went up to bed. I laid down, and I was out within minutes. It seemed like a couple minutes later, I think it was, maybe 5-10 minutes later, Julie came into the bedroom, and she started shaking me, and she said, get up. She had our couple cell phones in her hand. Get up. There's guys on the patio with guns. And I was startled. I was disoriented. I had just fallen asleep. I'm like, what are you talking about? What's going on? And she puts the phones in my hands, and I don't know what to do with these things. There's nobody to call anyway. We don't have police. We're out on our own. So I get up on my feet, and I walk across the house, the top floor, and I'm juggling the phones, trying to figure out, is this going on? What's happening here? I get to the top of the stairs, and I look down, and there's a man in our house. He's got a mask on. He's at the bottom of the stairs. He had walked all the way through our house, through a large room, the laundry room, and got to the bottom of the stairs and had the door open. And I looked down, and immediately I said, "What are you doing here?" And this is this is all in Spanish. "What are you doing here? What do you want?" And it was amazing to me. I was alert and aware at that time that I had no fear at all. I've had, we hear sounds at night sometimes, and I get up and look around. My heart's beating like crazy, and I get nervous. Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm standing at the top of the stairs looking down at this guy. I've got no fear whatsoever. God just, it was like snap. God's in control. I look down. "What are you doing here?" And he said he wanted money. I said, "What? And so I charged down the stairs, you know, towards him. I knew there were kids outside. I knew somebody was outside at guns. I said, you know, we got to get out there and see what's going on. So I go down after this guy down the stairs, and he starts backing up. So I continue towards him, and he backs up, and I back him all the way back through the house, all the way out to the front onto the patio. As we come out onto the patio, there's a man right at the door with a shotgun, points it right at me. I do the same thing to him. I look at the gun. This is the only time I really saw the gun. I looked at the gun, you know, there's a shotgun. Well, if he shoots me, it's going to hurt. And that's about the last I thought about it. I said, what are you doing? What do you want? And he says, we want your money. And he sends the other guy back in the house to start going through everything. He went through all of our guests' stuff, digging through their suitcases, and he makes me sit down. And I know right away this has potential to go bad. We don't have money. These kids don't have money. These kids are missionaries. They're kids. There's no money here, and I don't know what they want. And I knew this had to stop right now. So right away, right after he made me sit down, the kids, everyone's sitting in a circle. They're all looking at the ground. Some are crying. Some are praying. You know, everybody's scared. They don't know what to do. And I look at him, and I start confronting him. In the name of Jesus, you're going to put that shotgun down. In the name of Jesus, you're going to leave here right now. You have no business being here. This everything here belongs to God. In the name of Jesus, you must leave. And I said the same to the guy in the house. He must leave right now.
And what is the guy that's pointing the shotgun at you? You know, you're saying this all in Spanish too, mm-hmm. right? When you're saying that to him, what is he doing?
He looked like he was trying to ignore me. He's looking in the house, watching the guy go through the things.
He has a mask on.
He has a mask. They both have masks on. He's not looking at me. He's telling me to shut up. He's telling me, you know, shut up, shut up. And he's looking in the house to see what this guy can find in the house. And this went on, I think, probably for 2 or 3 minutes as I continued to confront him in the name of Jesus. He then did respond. And he turned and he looked at me. And he said, are you Christians? I said, yes, we're Christians. We're missionaries here. This is a Christian missionary group here. These are missionary kids. And, you know, all this stuff belongs to God. You need to leave in the name of Jesus. And he said, oh, well, I didn't know you were Christians. And I said, well, what about you? Are you a Christian? He said, yes. I said, really? Right away, I got up, and I went right after him.
Because you were sitting down,
I was sitting down at the time. So I stood up, and I went after him. And I had
his gun is still pointed.
His
at
gun's
you,
pointed at me. I'm not even looking at it. I'm looking at his face, and I had complete faith and confidence that God was in control of this situation. It was like almost like I was actually watching this happen. I was in my mind. I'm talking to myself at the same time. I'm talking to this guy, thinking, "Is this really going on? You know, is he listening to me now?" And he was looking at me, and I knew. I sensed he was something hit his heart. And then I knew I could go. I could go after him. And I approached him and got as close as I could to him. He backed up and continued to back up. Actually backed up to the wall on the patio all the way up to, you know, because the spirit hit him. And there was a fear in him. It was not a fear of me. It was a fear of God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he continued to listen. As I talked to him, he told me his name. I used his name, Santiago. I kept talking to him, Santiago. And I knew that this man really wanted to change. He didn't want to be doing this. And I told him how God could change his life. I told him that God had a different plan for him. I told him that this is not the way that he needed to live, that God could change his heart. And he was listening. Oh, you know what the amazing thing was? This was all in Spanish. My Spanish is pretty good, but it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, all of this is done in Spanish. And it was over a period of maybe 15 minutes. He was correcting my Spanish. He was fixing my verb conjugations. He was helping finish my sentences. And in my mind, I'm going, this is unbelievable. I'm confronting this guy in
it's like
Spanish.
A conversation,
and the gun,
one of them
and
has
the gun,
gun
is still at you, right?
He's got the gun pointed at me. He's actually trying to lift his mask because I felt like, you know, he wanted to really get personal.
Yeah, yeah. What is the other guy doing?
Well, the other guy's in the house. He's still going through stuff. And he's yelling out the window, shoot him, kill him, kill him. And I was told later that I didn't hear that because I was talking to this other guy.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
The Dominican boys that were with us told me that.
This is Jeffrey.
Jeffrey and Harley and Robert. And mm-hmm. that's probably why they look so scared.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he was saying. And Santiago was actually listening to me, conjugating my verbs, correcting my Spanish. He was engaged in this conversation. And he got to the point where he said, you know what, I'm sorry. I didn't know you're Christians. I'm sorry. And I want you to forgive me. And he turned to the group. He said, I want the group to forgive me. I said, well, you tell them. Tell them you want to forgive them. And he did. And then I said, well, you need Jesus. You need to ask Jesus to forgive you. And he said, yes, I do. And I said, we need to pray. Come here, let's pray. And he wouldn't come close to me. The other guy came out of the house. Santiago went over to him with the gun. He said, we're leaving everything here. We're not taking anything that belongs to God.
He's telling the guy that. He's
telling the other guy. Put everything back. Don't take anything. And so he left everything on the floor in there. He actually had one of our flashlights in their hands. Santiago took it out of his hand, gave it to me, and then that man left. He backed out and then kind of disappeared in the darkness. Santiago was left by himself with his gun, and I said, come, let's pray. And he was resistant, didn't want to come close. I maybe thought I was going to jump him, but that was not in my mind. All I wanted to do was pray for him. And I wasn't thinking, okay, you know, I'm going to take this guy down. My flesh wanted to do that, but I didn't want to. The spirit was in control. And he did. He stopped and he said, okay, pray for me. I prayed for him. He then came over and shook my hand, and then he left. And they left everything behind. Mm-hmm.
Did he say something to you before he left?
Yes, he did. During our conversation, he did mention to me, he said, you know, I'm going to come back here, and I'm not going to come back here to rob you. I'm going to come back here to show you that I'm a different man. And I said, I believe that. I believe that you're going to come back here, and you're going to testify. You're going to have a testimony that one day you came here to rip us off, and that God changed your heart right there. And you're going to come back and give that testimony. And I can't wait for that day. Mm-hmm. To see that will just be phenomenal. I mean, that'll blow me away again.
What did that do to your own faith?
Well, Danny, it was, you know, like I said before, I'm just a regular guy. And what blew me away from that was that, you know, I'm a regular guy. I'm a sinner like everybody else. And yet, God just reassured me of his love for me and that he's on my side. And he's in control. And for me to kind of step back and see right away that he would give me his Holy Spirit at that time when I needed it, that he would give me the gift of faith that I needed right then, because I believe that's what I had. I had faith, I had no fear. And that he would give me a boldness and a courage like I've never had before, and he would take control of that situation through me. Mm. That was just so reassuring and building of my faith that God would actually use me to do that. Because I'm just normal guy, but to really see the true power of God just take off like that and just totally change this situation. These guys came here thinking they were in control, and it didn't take long, boom, before they realized they're not in control, and God is in control. And he just turned that situation around, and he also did it to build the faith of these kids that were there. Every one of those kids saw this thing happen. They each have their own personal testimony of what happened. And it's just phenomenal.
How did Julie respond?
This is a great story and another way of showing what a partner she is to me. And it's kind of funny in a way. Julie was incredibly bold that I witnessed. We were together all the way down. She followed me down as I backed the guy out of the house. She stood by me when I confronted the guy with the gun. She sat next to me when he made us to sit down. When I got up, she got up with me. And you know what? She was rebuking the guy in the house in Spanish. She was yelling at him while I was yelling at this other guy, to the point where I had to turn and say, okay, stop, because I was listening to her yelling at this guy back there, and I was getting a little distracted. And I said, okay, stop. And I mean, she was just like, I put it as a joke. You know, I said, I thought about it later. I said, you know what? Well, it must have been incredible for these kids to watch this thing, because most of them didn't even know us, and their first night watching us just go, wah, 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 and Julie's going after this guy.
Our listeners need to know, here's a petite Japanese girl from Kaneohe, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Local girl, now married to Dr. Steve, they're in the Dominican, she speaks Spanish, right? So she's ripping away in Spanish, rebuking this guy.
Absolutely.
In the name of the Lord.
It was so cool to me. And I thought about it afterward. I said, you know what? The people watching this must have said, you know, Julie was like the Chihuahua and I was like the pit bull, and you know, she's going rah, 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 after the guy in the house, and I'm yelling at the guy with the gun, and she's like right behind me. Mm-hmm. Looking in the house, I'm looking out on the patio, and we're standing together, just battling.
Well, the youth were obviously quite upset and terrified. But after this unfolded, now the next morning, what happened to them? Were they any different? What did they make of this? Or this is, oh, this must be normal here, so I just have to get used to it. I mean, they think, what's going on?
No, they knew right away that they had just seen the power of God at work, and like they'd never seen it before. And they had to make a decision then if they were going to stay and continue to work or if they were going to go home. And there was nothing wrong with going home at then. You know, I'm told, hey, it's not a lack of faith. If you need to go home, you go home. Don't worry about that. And they had a meeting amongst themselves. Their ages 14 to 18. And they had their own meeting while me and the leaders had our own meeting. And we came back downstairs, and each one of them individually said, I do not want to leave. I want to stay here. I believe that God is in control here. We just saw it, and we want to continue to do what God wants us to do here. We're not going anywhere. So the youth pastor then had to call all the parents, tell them what happened. And this is an upper middle class family. These people,
and
this
is from
something.
What state?
Scottsdale, Arizona.
Arizona.
Yeah, you don't see much anything like this going on. And so the parents all agreed, and they said if they want to stay, they can stay.
Huh.
And they all stayed. And, you know, we got back to work right away. They were a little bit slow getting up the next day because we were up all night. They went back out to work. They worked the rest of the week, and you could not tell that anything had happened. If you had come in from the outside, you would never have known that there was any fear there. I think you would have known that there was some more boldness in them. They were more courageous. There was more faith. But you wouldn't have known that, you know, anything had happened that had caused them to have any fear.
To find out more about Del Corazon, and Dr. Steve Dorsey and Dr. Steve and Julie's ministry, you can visit them on the website, www.delcorazon.org. Now, Dr. Steve, what does Del Corazon de Jesus Cristo, what does that mean? How did you come up with that name? Where does it all come from?
That means from the heart of Jesus. And that's what I want to portray. I want to take the heart of Jesus where I go and have that make an impact on those that I come in contact with. That those who that come in contact with us would know that we have the heart of Jesus in us and that they can have it too and that they can become the people that God wants them to be through the love of Jesus, which comes from his heart.
Again, the website is www.delcorazon. That's DelCorazon.org. DelCorazon.org. You know, the dynamic of that story was such that we didn't take our quarter break. But let me just go ahead and recognize our partners. We're not going to take that official break, but let me just recognize our sponsors and get back. I do want to ask you one more question, because somebody today, they might not have a gun in their chest and have to look at a gunman in the eye, but they're feeling like they're in some tight straits themselves. It might be financially, it might be in a relationship, but I'd like for you just to give a parting shot. What do you think God would want to say to them at this time? But a big mahalo to Dr. Kerry Ishihara, our Waiawa dentist, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1 electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union right here on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. I said this before, I'd like to open an invitation for you to partner with the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. It's a listener-supported show. Your donation would be very, very helpful to enable us to reach even more people with God's love and hope. Your financial gift would be much appreciated. You can go ahead and write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and send it to P.O. Box 700-998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's P.O. Box 700-998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Dr. Steve, give us a parting shot. What do you think God would say to somebody who's in a real tight spot right now?
Well, you know, it's difficult to understand in its process, but God truly does love us. He really does have our best interest, and he wants to be involved in every aspect of our life, and he knows exactly what we're going through. He knows exactly what we need, and he knows how to give it to us when we need it. The God, the maker of heaven and earth, that's what just blows me away. The maker of heaven and earth knows each one of us individually, and he cares. And that's one of the lessons that I got out of this whole thing with this robbery, was that how I saw him work in my life. He will do that. And he just, we just have to rest. It's hard to do. Rest, wait patiently on him, and be willing. Just be open. We don't, there's no hoops to jump through. There's no performance issues. There's no earning. It's a gift that he wants to give us. It's something that we just have to be willing to accept and wait for him and rest in it, and use your resources, the Word of God, of course, your friends, the people at your church. You know, you got to communicate with not only God but others, and wait for him.
Dr. Steve, why don't you just close us in a quick prayer for our listeners who are listening right now.
Yeah. Father, you're so good to us, Lord, and I'm just thankful, God, that I am your child. Thank you that you make us your children by your grace, Lord, not something that we work for, not something that we have to earn, Lord, but we are yours because you created us and that you love us, Lord. And I just pray, Father, for your wisdom, your understanding, Lord, sound judgment and discernment, Father, that you'd put it in our hearts, Lord, that we would hear you, that we would hear your voice, that we would listen to your truth, Lord, because you are the truth, God. Protect our minds from the lies, and fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Help us to understand your love, Lord, that we would just understand, God, and rest in you, that we would have your peace, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give us your peace through your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. That's right from the heart of Jesus Christ. www.delcorazon.org. Find out more about Dr. Steve and Julie Dorsey. Next few weeks, you're going to hear more stories like this, day after day, weekdays right here at 2 o'clock, and also played again at midnight. Invite someone to listen in and be inspired. If you know a gripping story of someone, go to danny@thegoodlifehawaii.org. Let us know. Here's a scripture. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Matthew 17:20. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guest today, Dr. Steve Dorsey. Until next week, with my co-host, Martin Arinaga, and our technical producer, Leah Rodriguez. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
You have been listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro, along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva. We hope you have enjoyed our show and that you have been inspired by our featured guests and their stories of God's hand in their lives. Be sure to join us next week for more stories of hope in a time of crisis. Invite a friend to listen. There's no better time than today to unleash your God-given potential. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.